Blog Talk Radio.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Find light in the beautiful sea. I chose to be happy. You and I, you and I. We're like diamonds in the sky.
Yes, we are. You and I are beautiful diamonds. In the sky, in the universe, all over the planet, all over the world, all over the cities and towns we live in. We're all just beautiful, shining souls inside and out. And, you know, that's what this show is about. We are celebrating your life and the gift of life and your spiritual beauty from the inside out and from the heart and with all your heart and soul. We are welcoming you to the My Beauty Angel Show and Greater Good Ministries Radio. I'm Audrey Quinn, your host, and my co-host is Cindy Herman, author of Feel to Feel, pardon me, To Feel is to Heal. And Cindy, would you like to say hello?
Hi, everybody. I'm so glad. I'm looking forward to this. You know, you're talking about the diamonds. When you think, you know, all the dust in the world, that we really are made of star dust. So no wonder we're glowing the way we glow. You know, all matter in the universe all gets decomposed and shifting and recycled all around. So when the Big Bang happened, it's all of us are just pieces of stars.
Ooh, I love that. Fairy stardust, magical dust, gold, shimmering golden.
Yes.
Well, we'll do a brief intro about us, very brief, because we have a very special person, beautiful, true example of a beauty angel and what this show is about, of beauty and love and action and love, like we said, from the inside of your heart and soul outward to the world. And her name is Roxanne Watson, all the way from Nanuet, New York. And we will be bringing her on shortly in probably about 8 more minutes. But before we do, I want to let you all know our number today, our call-in number is 347-237-5339. Press 1 to let us know that you would like to speak with Roxanne. She welcomes your calls. This show is about you, our listeners, honoring your lives and what you're doing on the planet to help make it a better place to live in your own way, whether it's a random act of kindness, a smile to someone, opening a door, helping an elderly person do their shopping. Whatever you're doing, everything is important because God is always watching. Right, Cindy?
Absolutely. There's a beautiful poem by Mother Teresa. You know, people will treat you badly. Be good to them anyway. I'll read it next time. It's really beautiful. But the last line is, besides, it was never about between you and them. It was always between you and God. So, we might want to tell the people they're going to enjoy this call because this is an organ donor story. And we want to invite all of you listening, if you have anything to ask about that or contribute to that, such an important topic in our world today. And so please know that that's what it's going to be about. And please join us. Be prepared to ask questions or share. Give us your input on what you know about that, what your experience has been with that.
Yes, because you don't know who's listening on the other side of the world. We're all connected, and everything happens for a reason. There are no accidents. Life is a synchronicity, a beautiful activity of synchronicity, and everybody is called to a place in that moment for that reason to hear exactly the divine guidance and wisdom or healing information or happy, celebratory victory or challenge, whatever it is that you're called to that moment. Don't you agree, Cindy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I had a beautiful book once called Talking with Angels. and the angels. This woman channeled the angels, and at one point they got very upset with a question someone had, and in all capital letters they answered back, "Do you really think that there is a second of the universe that is wasted?"
Oh,
so there is perfect
goodness.
Order about it all.
I love that, talking with the angels. I want to look that up. And you can find, speaking of angels, Cindy's been a beauty angel to me, and I just want to briefly let you know you can contact Cindy at earthmirth, earthmirth 999, that's 999, earthmirth 999 at yahoo.com to contact her if there's any deep healing that you require, that you need help with, and it is doable on the budget. She's very fair with people and their budgets, but she does astronomical, very miraculous, quickly. I mean, it's amazing. I've done work with her, and the book To Feel Is to Heal is on Amazon.com for purchase or gift for somebody in need that really just keeps going around in a circle doing the same old things and getting the same old results. And you're talking, you're hearing it from somebody who used to be one of those. And I decided just not, I decided to go around the pothole and not to go into it over and over again. And life has changed and really opens you up to the beauty. Now, as far as me, you can always learn more about me at my website. I'm Audrey Quinn, by the way, here with Greater Good Ministries Radio. I'm your host, and my background is beauty and some television and pageantry and image consulting. You can reach me at mybeautyangel.com. mybeautyangel, just like it sounds, .com. And we are both your beauty angels, and we're going to be bringing on Roxanne. So let me tell you a little bit about Roxanne, and then we're going to bring her on here. Roxanne Watson is a woman with a beautiful miracle of a heart, okay, literally a heart of love, a mission of love. Her soul mission is love. She'll share her soul mission with you here in a moment. Her true heart love story. And in 2006, Roxanne was no longer able to work due to severe illness and many, many diagnoses of all kinds of things except for the heart. Finally, a heart doctor entered into the mix, and Roxanne was admitted to the Montefiore Medical Center Advanced Cardiac Care Unit. She was then evaluated for over a 90-day stay in the hospital. Then Roxanne was placed on the heart transplant list in the June of 2008. Roxanne's health started to deteriorate quickly in early 2010, and once again she had to be hospitalized in April, only to be put on a waiting list for her heart. That stage turned out to be the longest inpatient wait in that hospital's history, documented history. It's really sad. 78 days for the heart with a total waiting time of 104 days. After Roxanne was released from the hospital, she had written about her experience and her story, and she decided to share it with Oprah about her experience in 2011. She was asked to go to Oprah's show and share her story. And while Roxanne was on Oprah's show, they surprised her, a huge surprise. This makes me want to smile big in my heart and on my face by finding her donor, her heart or her organ donor. The family, right, of the donor, right? Obviously, it's the heart. So it's the family, and introduced the family to her, and not a dry eye was in the audience. The show was hosted by Gail King, Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, and Susie Orman. How awesome, Roxanne. What a surprise. Since that show aired, Roxanne has shared her heartfelt and touching love story and heart story with lots of talk shows, numerous news shows, the newspapers and media, radio shows and the likes. And I just recently I heard Roxanne was at the governor in New York. She had an appearance too just recently, I think a week ago. Anyways, by sharing Roxanne's beautiful story of organ donation and the fact that she has accomplished signing up over 3,000 people, wow, 3,000 people in the last 2 years, she has received all kinds of awards for her contributions and efforts. But the biggest award of all for Roxanne is that she is paying it forward because she wants to ensure that nobody ever has to wait so long in fear of your life for a heart transplant, just like she had to go through. So to learn more about Roxanne Watson heart story, you can Google Roxanne. Just Google Roxanne Watson, W-A-T-S-O-N, Roxanne, R-O-X-A-N-N-E, Roxanne Watson heart story on the Google, and you will come up with numerous stories, special stories about her contribution and her love, her beauty in action, is what we would call it here on the My Beauty Angel show. And you can also email Roxanne at rxwatson@hotmail.com, rxwatson@hotmail.com. Well, the time is now to welcome our beauty angel, and our special guest that we're so grateful and honored to have on My Beauty Angel today. I'm going to pick you up now, Roxanne Watson.
Doing.
Welcome, Roxanne.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today. And thank you very much for that beautiful introduction, too. That was great. You got all of it almost.
Did I? What are we missing? We're all ears, so we encourage you to share everything. Tell us more, Roxanne.
Well, as you said, I was definitely motivated by laying there in that hospital bed, thinking about all the thousands of people that were in the same situation as I. Right now, as of this airing, 117,000 people in the United States alone are waiting for solid organs. That's just the solid organs. That's not even counting soft tissues and eyes and all that other stuff. There's over 1 million people right now in terms of waiting for something from us, and each one of us can obviously help. There are living donors and also the deceased. My donor was Michael Bovill. He lived in California, New Jersey, came from an amazing family. And he saved 5 people with his life.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he was the organ donor, and his parents obviously had to make a really tough decision. But his father told me when I spoke to them that this decision was made easy because when they went through his personal effects, they found his driver's license and saw that he was a donor. So obviously I encourage everybody to first do that, make that commitment to save lives, and sign up to be a donor in the state that you're in, wherever you are. Just sign up. That's the first thing. And then obviously share that with your family, your desires with your family, because, you know, a lot of people are still, they still don't know what people want, you know, and then there'll be a time, God forbid, that you have to make that decision. It's always made easier when the person itself makes that decision. It's a personal decision. And we need to share the decision when we make the decision because, you know, you never know. You won't be around to make that last decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically what I do now is I'd go to a garbage can opening if I could. I go to any opening. I go anywhere that I can go to sign people up. I made a commitment when I laid there in that hospital at Montefiore. And I told those people, this is before I even met Michael's family, I told them that if I lived through that ordeal, that I would make sure that I would share the story and sign up as many people as I possibly could for organ donation so nobody would have to wait like that. That was horrendous. It really was. To lay there and know that you're dying and waiting, it was just, you know, that was the worst part of it. So that's the first commitment I made. And then the second commitment was when I finally met his family, which I didn't know. Like you said, I obviously didn't know I was going to meet them. When I met his family and I met the beautiful, Oh, they're just beautiful people, just with all the love. And you think about losing your 23-year-old son, and they just embraced every single one of us that got the donor organs, every single one of us. I'm just the most vocal, but it was just, it was amazing. It just really was. And his father and his mom told me, they said, you know what? I said, what I want to do is carry his story. That's all I want to do. I want to take that story and tell that story, and I keep telling it, and they've supported me in everything that I've done, and they've done a lot of things with me. And, you know, that's got to be hard, Audrey. That's got to be hard. Because, you know, obviously they'd rather have him, but they, like his mom and dad said, they have us. They have five of us, you know, to remind
us of him. Did you know how Michael left the world?
Yes, he had a motorcycle accident. He was in the United States Coast Guard. He had just left his family on a Sunday night dinner. He had just had dinner with his whole family. And he was on his motorcycle, and he lives in New Jersey, and he was stationed in New York. And he was coming across the bridge, the George Washington Bridge in New York, and he got cut off, and he fell.
Oh.
And hit his head. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So he had just left his family. He had just left every single one of his family.
And how old was he? Do you mind me asking?
He was 23. He was 23.
Oh, a little baby.
Yes, and just the angel. And, you know, it's very appropriate that you said that. He just was an angel. I carry a picture of him at every event I do, and every time I walk out of the door, I carry an 8x10 that his family gave me that day that I met them on the Oprah show. And one day I was doing an event, and I had the picture sitting on the table. And there was an older lady, Hispanic lady, who came up to me and started speaking to me in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I can't speak Spanish. So I asked the gentleman who was at the table next to me, what was she saying? And he told me that the lady wanted to take his picture. And I said, obviously, I said, I can't give her the picture. That's a picture of my donor given by the donor family. She said she wanted his picture because she wanted an angel in her house.
Oh, my God.
And she stood there and she cried over the picture. She said because to her, she saw the face of an angel. And she didn't even know the story. She did not know the story, Audrey. Cindy, it's just amazing.
My goodness. You know, an idea occurs to me. You probably thought of this yourself, but Oprah would be the right person to pose this to, since she has that channel, you know, with so many time slots available of programming. But I'd love to see a program of how people are reunited with the families of the... Can't do that.
Yeah. Well, up here, actually in New York, there's no set program, but the New York Organ Donor Network, every time somebody's united, if the families are willing, it's usually on, you know, a local station, on the TV, on the major networks. They make sure that that happens because people need to see it. When people see it, it has a face. You know, when you put a face on it, it makes it easier to make a decision.
Absolutely. You know, if you could pull together, and I could volunteer to help in any way, but pull together the names of a group of these people who would make a half-hour show or something, it would make a wonderful show that could just be transformative. And
yes,
I'm sure Oprah would be glad to do it because everyone agrees that this is, it's simply ignorance, the fact that there are so many people dying unnecessarily. It's simply unawareness. We're not being exposed to how simple this is. And yes, it's horrible to lose a loved one, but I would imagine the vast majority of those people are so grateful that that life continued to serve through living. Never before really in the history of the world, if you lost someone, did you have the opportunity to know and be fed and sustained by the knowing that that life is going on and on. So
That's the best thing that I can do for that family. That's the way I see it. The best thing I can do to honor that family is to make sure that his legacy is one of love and giving. So if I carry this story and I sign people up, I know that he lives on.
Absolutely. Yes. Have you gone, like, when they have teacher conferences or maybe the head of the Board of Education or anything where, because it'd be wonderful if we could have a speaker. Have you been asked into the schools to go into
I go everywhere. Oh. I have spoken. I go to the colleges. I go any place in New York or wherever surrounding anybody who asks me and provides transportation, I go. I've been in the schools. I've been in the media. I've been in the churches. I go anywhere that I can get invited. I ask, and most of the time, and probably all the time, when I've asked somebody, can I come in and speak to your group, it's always yes. Never been turned down, ever. It's just like really, really hard to do a lot of the things, you know what I mean? But I try to get as much done as I can do physically.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes I just get tired myself. You know, I can't run around that
yes.
much, but I do 3 to 4 events every week.
Oh, how marvelous.
She's like a CNN hero.
Yes.
She needs to be nominated.
Yes.
We need to nominate her for a CNN hero
of the year. Yes.
I've met Anderson Cooper, too, now that you said that. I did his show, too.
Did you really?
Yes.
When did you do that?
CNN hero, I just remembered that.
I like him. When did you do that?
I did that one in 2013. I did that in 2012. I did that last year. And actually on the show, I met Teresa Caputo, and she did a reading.
Teresa Caputo, tell me.
Yeah,
oh,
the Long Island Medium.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, she's a doll.
Yeah, she did a reading on me. She called
did
out
she,
my...
Can you share it?
Oh, yeah, it was on. It was publicized. Basically, what they did was they had us come into the studio, and then she picked who she wanted. There were 6 of us that she picked out. She picked me out first, and she came over to me, and she started telling me all kinds of stuff, and, like, everything she said was right on point. It was pretty scary to me because I was just like, there's no way she could have known that because Anderson didn't believe in it. So he said he's not, you know, he did not bring her into this studio. She was not allowed to have anybody's names or anything. He told everybody that he was going to bring her into the studio when the cameras were rolling, and that was it. And she just walked in, and she started reading people. And she read me first. It was pretty spooky.
Oh, my goodness. Did she see your work expanding? Surely, surely she did. Well, surely it will, no question.
Mm-hmm. She just basically said to me that she saw something around my chest.
That. Have you thought about, if you had increased funding, would that help you get the message out more?
Well, the funding would be, I would ask that the funding be donated to, in my area, New York Organ Donor Network, obviously. Every state has a donor network. That's where people should be sending the funding, because then that allows them to get out the educational materials. As you said, the easiest thing is the education.
Oh, yeah.
When I go to places and I have a conversation with people and in front of groups, people sign up. They get it. They get it. But they don't necessarily say, oh, well, I'm going to be an organ donor today. When you ask them to be one, you tell them what happens, you show them Michael, you show them me, they sign up. They get it. But they have to be, you know, you have to ask. You really have to ask.
Yes. You know, another place occurs to me where your voice would be very effective. You know, the voice is so powerful. It's the audible vibration of the soul. And your having been through that experience is in your voice. And that's why it's so transformative for people to hear it. What if you were to just make a small 3 or 4 minute video to make available at the DMV? Because people are sitting.
Done.
Oh, you did that already?
Already done.
Oh, okay.
In New York, there is actually that. In New York,
and
it's done.
She's got a clip from my Beauty Angel show today, too, now.
Yes.
One
that's
of many,
you,
right?
Well, that's why when you Google, you see all of that stuff. I've got YouTube, all kinds of stuff. You know, whatever I did, somebody recorded it somewhere, and it was done. Because we're just really trying to get people to get the story and get, like you said, move to action. Because this is something that you have to move to while you're alive, you know? You have to, you really should make the decision yourself. It's your body. And that's what I tell people all the time. Understand that when a person is grieving and they have to make a decision, is it a right thing to ask them, on top of losing you, to stand there and make a decision? It's the wrong time to make the decision.
Right.
You've got to make the decision and tell them what you want, and then when it comes to that time, it makes it so much easier for them to say, yes, this is what she would have wanted. You know?
Absolutely. My thought is, if you have done that in New York at the DMV, that's such a powerful place, because they're sitting there bored anyway waiting for their name to be called. So they hear this transformative emotional story, and it's right there, you know, that they sign before it's laminated. So, but couldn't that be replicated in every state?
Yeah, well, see, that's the challenge right there. And I have to be happy and proud that in our area, our legislators and, you know, our community groups and everybody has got together. And in New York, a lot of the things, like the voters registration, the DMV, all of those places on their application ask about organ donation. And this is the only state that does it. But it's been 2 years of fighting to get that done here, you know.
Uh-huh.
So we can get that done, but it's just that advocates in each state have to get out there and make sure that they go through the proper channels to get these things done. In New York, these people know that they're on board. We're behind everybody in terms of signing people up, and we don't want to be last in anything, if you know anything about people in New York.
Oh, I love New York.
If you know that, all we had to do was tell them that we're at the bottom of the list, and 303,000 people signed up last year.
Oh,
you know?
Thank God. That is awesome. You are really making a difference out there in the world. Really, truly, you're an inspiration to us all, Roxanne.
I hope.
I really am grateful for what you're doing, and I'm sure there's so many listeners that think it's so beautiful. And like you said, it is beauty in action. It's love in action. What could be greater than the gift of life? You know, what you're doing is advocating life extension where it could have been cut off earlier, you know, if they didn't have this particular organ, or, you know, whatever organ it might be, their quality of life, if they're still alive, right, to live, could be dramatically altered. I would like to ask you a question, but I think I'll ask you now, and then we'll take a break for you to come back, because you may want to elaborate, and it might be a longer answer.
Okay.
What will hold that question? I think I mentioned it to you earlier before the show, Roxanne. But before and after our commercial break, we'll ask you that question when we come back.
Okay.
I want to remind everybody real quickly here that you're listening to My Beauty Angel Show on Greater Good Ministries Radio and Blog Talk Radio, which is worldwide. So don't be shy to Skype in or dial 347-237-5339. You must hit the number 1 if you would love to ask Roxanne a question about her heart story or any inspiration. You may be going through something yourself, or you may have a friend, or you're interested in contributing and making a difference like Roxanne is doing, because she really is a human angel, a beauty angel who's teaching us to really treasure every heartbeat that we have and every breath that we take, how precious, because, you know, a lot of times we do take it for granted, don't we, Roxanne? Sometimes people can take it for granted until they're, you know, it could be too late.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
You know,
I hate to say I would want a person to go through what I went through, but it's life-changing, literally. Yes, it changes your life with your heart and your transplant, yes. But the psyche totally changes. Everything that was important before becomes very unimportant.
Wow.
Yes, it does. Things become real when you face that, and you know what it's like that you're going to die, and someone tells you you're going to die. It makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. And if it doesn't, then you're really in trouble.
It's really interesting, too, Roxanne, that Michael is the protection angel in the, of all the archangels.
Mm-hmm.
Archangel Michael, you know, because your angel, your live angel, well, in spirit world, your angel that provided you the beautiful heart to extend your life, you know, Archangel Michael had, you know, maybe some help. He might have helped you to protect you, you know, and to provide that heart. You know, Archangel Michael is a divine protector for a lot of people in the world. Without, some people don't know because they don't really know who the archangels are, but that is interesting because the archangel protection angel is Michael. We are going to take a quick couple public service announcements. I wish we had one up for the heart and heart donors or organ donors right now. Maybe you can get us one, Roxanne, so that we can share it on the show. That would be great.
No problem.
And our founder, Reverend Barbara DeLosier, would love to have Greater Good Ministries. I'm sure she would. We could incorporate it, and we can help you, you know, broadcast it as a public service announcement. I think that would be good, too. Even if it was your own clip, too, we could do it. So we'll go ahead and share a couple, little commercial here. We'll be right back.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it
down.
Audrey,
can you hear me?
There it is.
Yes, I can.
Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car? And this time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park. Getting frisky in the dark, I gave your eye a poke. Think the dog is in the bedroom, I smell smoke. You and me, we never, ever, ever give up.
You didn't give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
You are listening to My Beauty Angel with Audrey Quinn on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Audrey.
And here's my co-host Cindy Herman and our special heart-filled beauty angel of the show, starring of our special guest of My Beauty Angel, is Roxanne Watson. And you can Google Roxanne, just Google her name, and you will find a wealth of information on organ donor information and advocacy and making a difference. And welcome back, Roxanne. Are you here with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy that you guys have me today.
Oh, we're so grateful, too. I'm learning
can
so much.
Can you hear me? Can you hear
yes,
me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. I want to make sure I'm experimenting with this mute button. Sorry, it's a new phone.
That's
good.
Okay.
I want to hear every word of this.
Sure, no problem. So now the question I had, which I better ask now for time's sake, is that, I guess if I was in that situation, which I can't even relate because, I mean, I've been hospitalized a few times and had surgery a couple times, but not anything as dramatic or heavy what you've been through, Roxanne, to do with your heart. And so I would like for the listeners to understand what kind of thoughts, feelings, fears were going through your mind when your health was deteriorating and you were, I don't know, did you ever give up hope? Were you prayerful? Do you believe in the supreme being, higher intelligence, God, your angels? What was it? Can you share some of your resources, inner and outer, that helped you survive? And because you're a strong woman, I can hear it in your voice. You're very strong.
I have to be. You know, here's the thing, and I tell everybody this because a lot of people ask that question. I never, ever thought I was going to die. I knew that I was suffering. I did know that I was suffering, and I knew I was getting weaker and that I was losing life because there was a point where I couldn't even walk. But I never, ever really thought I was going to die. Something told me I wasn't going to die, but it was going to be. I was going to have to wait, and it was going to have to happen when it happened. I think the people at Montefiore actually got more impatient than I did because they were upset that it wasn't happening faster for me. People were coming in the hospital for transplants, getting their transplants, and leaving, and I was still there, you know? So I think they were the ones that were a little bit more impatient than me because they really wanted me to get that heart. And after being there that whole time, I worked with every single nurse on that unit. I was there so long. I had 40 different nurses and about 16 different doctors. And everybody in that hospital was pulling for me. And I think that was more the, I felt like a direct spirit from people. It wasn't necessarily that I felt that, at that point, that God was looking over me, even though I knew that, but I was getting my energy from the nurses and the doctors and the people that were coming in and out of that hospital. They were incredible. They were just incredible. And when I got that transplant, a cry went up in that hospital like you would. Everybody in that hospital knew that I got that transplant. You know, because at that point, you have to be exposed to people, have to wear masks. It was a line, literally, outside of my hospital room of nurses in masks waiting to get in there to say, congratulations, glad to see you got it, everybody knows about it. I mean, it was like everybody knew. And I think that's more my spirit came from the spirit of others at that point. I knew also that my family and the church that my family attends, that they were praying for me every Sunday. My little nieces used to tell me, oh, you know how they have the little prayer for the people in the hospital? Every single Sunday, they were praying for me. My nieces would tell me, oh, there was a prayer in church for you today and everything. So I felt like there were people out there praying for me. Let's put it that way. I was just in there battling to stay alive and keep a positive attitude after being in so long, you know? That was the longest thing, just waiting. When I got past the 60 days, it was like, just let me know, and, you know, don't bother me anymore. Just let me know when it's going to happen. I was like, whatever.
I have a question. How do you think, looking back on how you lived or how you, certainly not how you lived, but how you felt, how your life was or how you felt about life, previous to that experience, and then how did it change you?
Well, I think, as I said before, what happens now is I don't have patience for junk. You know what I'm saying? I just don't. When people start with the bickering and the fighting with their parents and they hate this one and they hate, I don't have time for any of that negative stuff. So when people send, like, you know, and have conversations and stuff, I stop it. You know, it's not something I allow around me anymore, whereas before I might have entertained it. Now I have no patience for it.
Wonderful.
And somebody says, oh, well, especially when they start talking about they hate their parents. And I mean, I had a conversation. I heard a conversation when I was at the hospital visiting somebody last week, and it was a lady who said, oh, my mother, this and that. And I just said, you know what? I don't have my mother, and I don't have my father, so I'll trade with you. Okay, and that was the end of that conversation. So I don't have patience for a lot of stuff. That's one thing. And I also feel like I have a different type of empathy than I had before. I have a big different type of empathy. When I hear all of this stuff on the news about people mistreating each other and hungry people and all that stuff, I have a lot more compassion.
Goodness.
I have a lot more of that compassion. You know, I just feel it. And sometimes, actually, and my son is my biggest angel, sometimes I have to really turn the news off. Some days I just can't do it. I just can't do it because it's just too bad, you know. And I don't want that stuff to come into my heart.
Oh, I think it's a very smart idea. You know, the Dalai Lama and so many wise beings through time have asked us to open our hearts and develop a compassionate heart. Yours was opened in ways most of our hearts aren't opened, but it certainly worked. You're a living example.
I like it. I like it. I like the way I feel. You know, I like the way I feel a lot better than I, you know, I didn't feel like I was a bad person, but I like being like this.
Mm.
I like what Michael's given me. And I think it is a gift from him. I really do.
Yeah.
I like what he's given me, and I don't apologize for being this. I just don't do that anymore. I just try to help people. I'm on a mission to get people signed up for that reason, but I try to help people in other ways too.
Absolutely. Wouldn't you say that the open, compassionate heart is the most important thing in all the things to possess that a human can possess?
There's no question about it. And you know what? The minute you open up yours, everybody helps you. And that's why I try to tell the kids all the time, when you stop being stupid and people see that you need help, people will help you. And you, these all these things that you need and you want, and you know, all of that is junk. All of that junk goes out of your life. And you start helping people, and people help you. People help me every single day, and I accept that. When I was, before my transplant, I used to try to help people all the time.
Oh, but, you couldn't receive.
You know,
it's hard,
and I didn't necessarily take it myself. But that's one thing that I learned in the hospital from the nurses. Because I used to lay there sometime in pain, and they'd go, you can't do this. You can't lay there in pain. We need, if you need our help, you need to call us. You need help, you know, get us in here. That's what we get paid to do. We'll help you, even if we just come in here and sit with you. But there was a point where I didn't ask for help. Now I ask for help every day.
Oh, how wonderful.
I want you to help me. I want people to help others sign up to be organ donors. I ask people to do things every single day.
That is awesome.
And I didn't do
You're
that
really an ambassador, truly an ambassador of love and in life, a life ambassador. Well, a couple things I want to say real quick, because you both have triggered a couple things. Wherever there is a human in need, there is an opportunity for kindness and to make a difference. And the 14th Dalai Lama says, when we feel love and kindness toward others, it not only makes others feel loved and cared for, but it helps us also develop the inner happiness and peace.
For sure.
Really. Absolutely.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
And they found that even someone observing a random act of kindness has that same flush of endorphins through their system just by seeing it, since we're all one and it's part of the human condition. And, you know, that about the vulnerability that, you know, I really believe that everyone on earth has a broken heart, and we're all walking around, particularly maybe in America, where we're all very proud of how much we can't feel and how cool we are.
How cool we are, right?
We're so cool, and we got it all together with all the answers. And but it's actually when we are vulnerable is when people are the most attracted to us. It pulls the humanity out in them. And if we could, and I think adversity gives that great gift to someone of being more humble, being more vulnerable, recognizing that we're not that cool, we're not that in control. And when one lives from that more surrendered state, and isn't that what Jesus meant when he said, you cannot enter the kingdom or bliss or nirvana except as a little child? And children are so completely vulnerable. They don't know how to pretend like they're cool or have all the answers.
I'll tell you one thing. If organ donor recipients, if you would be in a room, like I was in a room with a few of them, you know, here and there, you will never meet a more diverse group, socially, physically, all types of ways. And if they are really happy and grateful for the gift of life that they've been given, you can't stop these people. You just can't stop them. Because they know what it's like to be facing death. Everybody faces it. But when somebody tells you that you're going to die, there's a difference. There's
difference. Roxanne, the important question I have, because I know it's how important it is to you and it's your sole mission, to encourage folks to sign up to be a donor. Mm-hmm. I want to know two things. I want to know, one, if I wanted to sign up tomorrow, how would I do this? I want the listeners to know as well as myself personally. And what's the biggest fear myths that prevent folks from saying, mm-hmm. oh, you know, they can't go there? Because I think that's what stops them, where they have all these gobbledygookly ideas.
Yeah.
Someone fed them, or they think that they'll lose their life if they sign up. That maybe
they're
going to
kill me. They need my organs. That's the first thing I hear at every event that I do when I'm signing people up. Will they let me die because they know I'm an organ donor? They do not know that you're an organ donor until you die.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Really?
It's not like you walk in there and make an advertisement. And, you know, it's the law says that when you are declared cardiac or brain dead is when you become a donor. Period. So it's not like you walk in a hospital and somebody says, oh, she's a donor, let's let her die. It's just the opposite. And those people fought. I met the people who fought to save my donor. I actually took me to that hospital. I met the doctors, the nurses. Those people fought to save Michael. They fought a whole week to save that Michael. You know? Nobody wants anybody to die, especially a young person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, they fight even harder. I was in, when I was waiting for my organ, there was somebody three doors down, 23 years old. I'll never forget that night. That she went into arrest, and everybody in that hospital was in there working on her. And they fought to save her life because she was 20-something years old. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest myth, is like, they're going to let me die. You know, and then the biggest thing is, I won't be able to have a funeral. That's the next thing. A lot of people have a thing about, they want to have that funeral. They might want to have that open casket. It's organ donation. They're inside your body.
Yeah, nobody sees that.
They're inside your body. You know, so you have to tell them if that's what they want, they can still have it. My baby had a full military funeral with his family there and everything. You can still have a funeral. Funeral has nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So it was meant to be that Michael, you know, God always knows our last breath, our first breath when we enter the world in the hospital or not in the hospital, through a midwife at home, wherever we're born. And we have our first breath, and he knows when our last breath and our last heartbeat will be. And he knew when your angel, Michael, when that breath was going to be taken, you know, because the author, God is the author of our book, our life, the mm-hmm. beginning and the end, and God had it written that Michael would be your angel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other question that you asked, if they want to sign up, every single state has their own organization, or you could just go to donatelife.org and go on there and look up your state. You can also sign up on Facebook. There's a lot of portals to sign up. But every state has, you know, a different situation. And then there's national. It doesn't matter where you sign up. You can sign up, and if you go into school in the state, you can sign up in that state. You can sign up in another state. There's so many places to sign up. But if you just go to donatelife.org, it'll show you all the states. You can click on there and go to the state that you're in if you want to register there. You know, there's so many ways. And you can go to Facebook now even. The kids, they like to do stuff online. You can go online and do it on your Facebook page.
Donate Life. www.donatelife.org.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it'll
Roxanne,
take you right to your state.
It occurs to me, you're such a face for this, such a voice for this. It's such a story that, and I know your life is probably very busy going and doing exactly what you do, but if there's any way you could maybe just list some of the avenues you have used to get the word out there, schools, DMV, things
sure.
like that. And mm-hmm. then, you know, maybe we could just post that with your photograph.
Oh, yeah, that's not a problem.
Really, because if I'm here in Illinois, okay, what could I do? Gee, there's going to be an Earth Day coming up, you know, over at the college. Why don't
right.
I, you know, put up a sign there? And
there you go.
Have
that's the way
sign
you, that's
up.
The way you do it. That's exactly the way you do it. You just
and
whatever
yes.
whatever organization, and you know what, most of the time when you tell them what you're doing, you know how you have to pay for tables at county fairs and all that, usually when you tell them you're doing Donate Life, it's usually free.
My goodness.
Very rarely do they charge you. So you go to a county fair and you set up a table and you put some brochures out and, you know, sign people up. Simple as that.
How wonderful. But my thought, so if you would just, if you could take a minute sometime and just list, here's where, you know, you can go here, here, here.
Yeah,
and because I may
that.
Not, yes, and individuals across America who want to do something may not think of all these ideas. You've already invented the wheel here. So if you could just with your beautiful smiling photograph there at the top and say, well, you know, this is what I've done. And now right away, here's all these bullet points. Oh, I could try that. Oh, I could try that. And you've simplified the, yes, the exercise.
I will send it to you after the show. How about that?
Oh, great. And then my thought is.
I'll send you the info right after the show. And the people also have my email address. I encourage your listeners to please email me with any questions they have. I'll be glad to answer anything I can do and shoot them into the right way. Because it's something that everybody has to do, you know.
Yes, and if you could put that, I'm sure there's a site, a general site called, you know, Donate for Life. And so if you could get that there, where if I were to go, because I would think, gee, I'd like to donate more, but I don't know how to do it. And a lot of times when you go to those sites, they kind of you have to filter through a lot of information before you get to some bullet points.
Right.
You know what I mean? The specifics of how to act. And so if you could ask them to just talk with them about the possibility of putting that on the front page, you know, oh, good, that's a simple thing. I could go do that.
Yeah, and it is simple. It takes seconds. And, you know, and it, everybody that's going to every DMV in the United States, you can do it through that. And most people do sign up through the DMV. But the problem with signing up through DMV in certain states, that's years between sign-ups. I know in New York, it's 8 years now before you renew your license. That's a long time, not registered.
That's true.
So that's why we're trying to encourage people to get out there and register whatever state organizations that are registering people right now. Don't wait until you do your DMV.
Right.
That's too long because you never know. God bless.
Roxanne, are you on the our founder of Greater Good Ministries and GGMRadio.com? She's in our chat box on the computer where listeners have an open chat. And she was curious. She's looking at the www.donatelife.org website. She's asked if that was you. Are you on the website?
Oh, probably some of the stories might be on there. I know I know two of the last stories that I've done were on there, so might be on there. But I'm definitely on New York Organ Donor Network.
New York and Facebook. Is it okay for me to say they can go?
That's all right.
She's got a lot of big heart, beautiful heart balloons on her Facebook page. It's really adorable, and she's on there. Actually, she's on. You can go to my link for show information on Facebook and type in My Beauty Angel, three words, at Facebook. Like the page. You'll see pictures. I have pictures of Roxanne. Who's that good-looking man with you?
That's my son. That's my partner in crime. He goes every single place I go, he goes with me.
What's his name?
Yes, we do it together.
What's his name, Roxanne?
His name is Kellen. His name is Kellen, K-E-L-L-E-N.
Oh, I
and
love
he's
it.
He's my
Kellen.
Angel.
Oh,
he is.
He looks sweet with
girl.
You. So there's pictures of Roxanne on the My Beauty Angel page. Reverend B. B's listening, so I'm telling B right now. And also on my page, Audrey Quinn. But the My Beauty Angel show page will always have show information with our special guests every Saturday. And we'll have, you know, heart-inspiring stories or, you know, if anyone knows of other folks, there's so many listeners. Everybody's so unique in their own way. And you out there may be a great person to, you know, share your gifts for whether they're a health challenge or a victory story or how you run your business or your passion and your soul mission, what you're doing in life to celebrate and treasure your life and honor your life. Share that. If you know, go to the My Beauty Angel page. Send me a message on Facebook that you'd like to be a guest on the show. We actually are booked up for the month of April with all our guests, and we're booking into May, and we welcome other folks like Roxanne, beautiful souls, hearts and souls. That's what this show is about. having you express what you're doing for the world and just by your existence here living and breathing right on the planet. Mm-hmm. Right, Cindy?
Absolutely. I just hope, and I doubt that she's shy, so I think hopefully Roxanne would undertake my favor. But that is, if she would just contact Oprah, Oprah will remember you and say, Oprah, it's been given to me, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Others have probably thought of it. But what a wonderful show of watching these families reunite.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, a half hour of seeing, you know, maybe four or five stories of people uniting mm-hmm. would just touch everyone so deeply, they'd get on the Donate Life side immediately.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, you know, just when you have a conversation, every time that I'm in any place, in the paper or on the radio, TV, mm-hmm. whatever, people mm-hmm. always, just a real quick anecdote, I went to a thrift bakery in the town that I live in, and there was a young lady that came up to me, and this was an article that she had seen in April of 2011, is actually when she saw this article. She said to me, I was waiting to see when you were going to come in here, because she knew I shopped here, because I wanted to tell you I saw the article in the paper, and I went and I signed up.
Oh.
And that's what we want people to do.
Every single
person can help 50 people. Your body can help 50 people. Imagine the impact that you can have when
each
you leave this work.
Exactly. Each one of us listening, because it is. It's the human connection. Facts don't influence people. Feelings influence people.
No
doubt
about
it. So if we can get them to feel, then they will be moved to action.
Yes, because God forbid, you just don't want it, you know, you don't want to look at it in your family. You just don't want to see it. And if it's somebody in your family and you see them, especially kidney people, a lot of people need hearts, but the kidney people are the people who are suffering in enormous numbers. They are the ones that suffer the most. And they're waiting and they're on dialysis. You know what? I told the doctor it was bad getting a heart, but thank God I didn't need a kidney. Because I see those kidney people, they are suffering so bad. That dialysis is killing them. Mm. And they have to get off of it. And the only way to get off of it is through donation.
Absolutely. And that's something that could be done without harm. Someone can give a kidney while they're living without harm.
And they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They have kidney chains up here, I know, where one gives one, each one gives one, and another one gets one. You know, if somebody in your family gets one and you can't donate to them, you donate to somebody else. And that's how they're getting kidneys around. But we need everybody, you know, the living that are moving and breathing. We need everybody to donate at their past, because there's so many people that need. They really do.
Yes. Can the military donate?
The military do. And they almost, I actually did an event at West Point, and almost 100% of them were donors. Because that's the kind of life that they live. You know, they are good, giving people. And it was easy. They literally stood online, and I signed up 65 cadets in one day.
Oh.
Online. Yes, ma'am. How are you doing? I'm from the state of California. I want to sign up in New York. And that was the easiest day of my life. 65 cadets.
Oh, my gosh. That was so beautiful.
Yeah, one day. Because that's, you know, that's what they do. They help people anyway. You know what I mean? So that military people, honestly, are very easy. Very easy to sign up.
I'll bet. And firefighters, you know, someone could just go over to the fire station.
Yes, EMTs, police officers, all of those people. Mostly all of them, you know, are donors anyway. But, you know, you carry the story and you tell it, you never know. Maybe one person will sign up that wasn't signed up before.
Absolutely.
And that's how you get it. One person a day. That was my original goal, just to sign one person up every time I walked out of the house. I went to the store, that was my original goal, and it turned into something completely different, which is good.
Yes, yes. And, you know, when you think about it.
What an inspiration. We're down to 2 minutes to close out. So any closing comments that either of you have?
I just have a short one, and then I'll hear from Roxanne. But really, when you think about it, dying, it's going to happen to all of us. And how wonderful to go on and serve, to know that after you've served here on earth, then you can continue to serve, perhaps indefinitely, into the world. So think of it that way, that your love of service never needs to end if you donate organs.
Yeah, you couldn't, no better said than that. I just, you know, I'm just hoping that I can live up to the leave the legacy and carry on the life of Michael, and that's it, period. If I can do that, I'll be happy in this world.
Oh, I'm sure he's up in the bleachers cheering you on, girl.
And I hope that his family is.
Wow, I'm inspired.
I will actually be speaking at St. Patrick's Cathedral on April 6th.
Oh,
in New York.
Oh, how wonderful.
And
wow,
I'll be meeting
girl.
His family again. So
oh,
that's
oh,
my next
sweet.
Fun event. I'm just looking forward to that. It'll be a mass of celebration and thankfulness, and we're going to thank our donors and their families, and my donor's family will be there, and some members of the United States Coast Guard.
Oh, my goodness. You get someone to film that. That can be one of the pieces that opens
yeah.
in our program.
Yeah.
That would be
New
beautiful.
New York Organ Donor is pretty good at making sure that everything is documented, so we'll
I'll
make
bet.
Sure that it
wow.
is. And I'll get you guys a copy of whatever.
Great.
You're so sweet, Roxanne. You're very, very sweetheart for real. Just a real example of what a beauty angel is, and sharing Michael too. And I guess our show has ended. It's been wonderful, though. I love you both. And
thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Roxanne.
Bless you.
For all you do.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Good night.